and don't sleep and don't exercise. And generally, that's true. At the same time, we all know someone who eats poorly, doesn't have good sleep schedule, doesn't exercise, and still remains skinny. So, and the reason I say that is because tonight we're going to be talking about the rewards of wisdom. The rewards of wisdom. And I don't want you to take it and go, oh, this is God's promise for my life. This is what he has said will happen if you are wise. I want you to think generally, this is true. This is the reward of wisdom generally. Okay? So Job is a good example of that. He was a wise and righteous man, and yet he suffered. He suffered. So, I just want you to remember that, because the fall has twisted God's design, even if we do act wisely and righteously. So, all of chapter 3 in Proverbs, if you're looking at chapter 3, it's all about the rewards and security found in wisdom. The rewards and security found in wisdom. The first and second half of the chapter is a direct address to the son. So you can see it in verse 1, my son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. And then if you actually go all the way down to verse 21, it says, my son, let them not vanish from your sight. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. And so, direct address. Okay, father to son. And then in the middle, when we get to verse 13, so we're going to be going through verses 13 through 18, we kind of get a sidebar. We kind of get a sidebar. It's more general. It's not as specific. He's talking to his son still, but it's not you. You know, if you look in verse 12, it says, for whom the Lord loves, he reproves, even his father corrects the son in whom he delights. And then verse 13, general, it's expanding it out. It says, how blessed is the man who finds wisdom. So it's more general. And it's the sidebar, and it's basically the teacher saying, he's giving direct instructions to his son, and then he kind of exclaims, and these are the rewards of wisdom. It's like he can't help himself. And so as we're going through this, I kind of want you to picture, okay, father making an argument to his son, a plea to his son, hey, this is why you should be wise. This is why you should be wise. And this section, verses 13 through 20, although we're only going through verse 18, focuses more on the outcome of wisdom rather than the specific of what makes you wise. Rather than the specifics of what makes you wise. Okay? And the reason we do verses 13 through 18 is a section. So, you know, in the middle of this chapter, you've got 13 through 20, which is more general. We've talked about the reason 13 through 18 is a section is because it's framed by two blessings. It's kind of I refer to it as a blessing sandwich. It's a chiastic structure a little bit. And you can see that in verse 13, it says, how blessed is the man. And then in verse 18, at the end of verse 18, and happy are all who hold her fast. That word happy and the word blessed are the same words. Or not the same words, but the same root. Same root. Okay? So I'm going to read through it, and then we'll dive into it. Okay. Verse 13, it says, how blessed is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding, for her profit is better than the profit of silver and her gain better than fine gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire compares with her. Long life is in her right hand, and in her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who hold her fast. So, the first blessed here. So, just my outline for tonight is this. We've got two main points, and then on the second main point, I'm going to have some subheadings. So the first main point is a statement. It's just verse 13. It's the wise are blessed. The wise are blessed. And then the second main point is this. It's, and this is verses 14 through 18, it's the value of wisdom, the value of wisdom. So when you're looking at this, think, okay, we've got the statement, blessed is a wise man, and then the rest of the verses kind of explain what blessed means, the rewards of wisdom, okay? So first point, the wise are blessed. This whole section, 13 through 18, it's a beatitude. It's an explaining of the state of blessing. It's kind of the opposite of it is a woe, which Jesus says to the Pharisees in Matthew chapter 23. Woes and beatitudes just explain the natural state of a person, whether wicked or righteous. They're not a promise or a prophecy, but a description of how things generally are. How things generally are. So the word blessed here has the idea of being happy. Thus, you know, in verse 18, it substitutes it with happy. Some of your versions in verse 13 might say happy. Has the idea of being happy and highly favored by divine grace. And this is found throughout Proverbs, the idea of being blessed. And Proverbs 16, verse 20 says, he who gives attention to the word will find good, and blessed is he who trusts in the Lord. Being blessed, or being called blessed, is just another way of saying living in the way that God intended. Living in the way that God intended. A man is blessed when he is wise because he's living the way that God designed him to live. In spite of the fall, it's a state of being. Those who are wise are happy, favored of God. So, first main point, the wise are blessed. Oh, and then the rest of the verse here. Okay, so it says, how blessed is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. The state of blessing, it doesn't just happen. Okay, so the man who finds wisdom, the word for find refers to an aggressive searching, not a chance happening. Nobody just stumbles upon wisdom. In fact, one of the versions of the fool in Proverbs is the naive. And the naive is the one who chooses to remain in ignorance of wisdom. They know it's there. They've heard the call of wisdom in the street, but they don't pursue it. So you cannot, to be wise, you cannot just stay as you are. You must aggressively search for it. Yeah. And as in other places in Proverbs, the father's teaching is equated with wisdom, for both bring life and peace. So in verse 16 and 17, long life is in her right hand, and her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. If you look back at verse 2 of chapter 3, it says, for length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you, speaking of the commandments that the father was teaching the son. So wisdom is equated with the father's teaching. So in order to be blessed, the wise are blessed, you must follow the father's commands, and you must search for them aggressively. And then you will gain understanding. Okay? That's the first main point. The wise are blessed. The second main point is the value of wisdom, and this is verses 14 through 18. The value of wisdom. Scripture extols the rewards of wisdom and the value of it in other places in Scripture. So in Psalm 19, verses 9 through 11, it says, It says, "The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true. They are righteous altogether. They are more desirable than gold, yes, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey, and the drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned. To keep them, there is great reward." There's great reward. So, an explanation of the blessing and the value and rewards of wisdom. So, under that second main point, I've got a subheading. Verses 14 through 15 is wisdom versus material things. Wisdom versus material things. And so, in verse 14, it starts off, "For her profit is better than the profit of silver, and her gain better than fine gold." The word for profit here implies trade. When you read verse 14, think to yourself, it's talking about buying up wisdom and the act of trading in wisdom. In other words, it's a metaphor for the receiving and practicing of wisdom. These things are better than wealth. You could almost read verse 14 as, "For her buying up of wisdom is better than the profit of silver, and her practicing of it is better than fine gold." Better than fine gold. And as I was thinking on this, I just want to remind you that there is benefit to both the study of wisdom and the practice of it. You can almost say, blessed are those who study their Bible and apply it. You know, many times in church, I've heard the saying, "I want your head knowledge to become your heart knowledge." And while that's true, that we do want to get down to the heart, I want to remind you that, and encourage you that, there is also blessing in studying your Bible. Blessing in studying it, as well as applying it. Okay? So, the studying and the practicing of wisdom is better than wealth. And verse 15 kind of explains it a little bit more. Explains that idea a little bit more. It says, in verse 15, "She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire compares with her." Nothing, no material thing you desire is better than wisdom. The previous verses talk about silver and gold, which would have been kind of upper class items. But this verse takes it up a notch. It refers to jewels, or in some versions it might say rubies. And then it kind of, the nothing you desire, that kind of refers to material things. So it's a catch-all. So silver and gold might have been things upper class Israelites during that time would have had, but then the rubies and anything else you could desire, that it's the luxury items, the things that even the upper class might still desire to have but probably don't. So these things are difficult to obtain, but not impossible. It takes a lot of work to get gold and silver out of the ground. It takes a lot of work to get a ruby. But wisdom is impossible to gain apart from the Lord. Many times I'll hear a secular person say something, and the beginning of what they said seems wise, but by the time they get to the end of their point, it's twisted. They've twisted it into something that is unwise. Wisdom apart from, you can't get wisdom apart from God. Wealth can be stolen, wisdom cannot. God is the one who gives it. In other words, one commentator that I read said this, "Wisdom makes you a richer man than money ever will." Wisdom makes you a richer man than money ever will. Okay, verses 16 through 17. And this is kind of a second subpoint under the main point too. It's wisdom versus quality of life. Wisdom versus quality of life. The Bible use the idea of the right hand and the left hand a lot. So if you look in verse 16, 17, long life is in her right hand, and to her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. So this idea of the right hand and the left hand, it's the right hand, whatever's in the right hand is the more important thing. And whatever in the left hand is still important, still can be given, but it's a little less important. So the teacher here says, okay, in their right hand is long life. That's better than the wealth and the riches that are in the left hand. But I want you to consider whose hands are it that long life, riches, and honor are in. It's in wisdom's hand. It's in wisdom's hand. So, the teacher here elevates long life as more important than wealth, but wealth and reputation are also desirable states. You know, they're in the hand of wisdom, and wisdom gives these things. Long life, wealth, and honor, they are not the aim of life, but a desirable reward and outcome of wisdom. A desirable reward and outcome of wisdom. Solomon himself in 1 Kings is an example of this. God comes up to him and he says, Solomon, I'll give you anything you wish. You just ask for it. And Solomon asked for wisdom, not wealth, not a long life. And yet God, through Solomon's wisdom, gave him all those things. Yeah, he received glory, long life, and wealth. And as far as quality of life goes, wisdom brings peace and easy paths. Peace and easy paths. When you are living in the way that God intended, generally things will go smoother for you. Many of the problems people face are not a result of a lack of wisdom. Along with a lack of wisdom often comes more sin. You know, you can be foolish and technically not in sin, but your foolishness always brings about the opportunity for more sin. And all sin is foolishness. Yeah, I think of Proverbs chapter 15, verse 19, which says, "The way of the slacker is like a hedge of thorns, but the path of the upright is a highway." It's a highway. So I ask you this, is your life difficult? Have you considered whether you are acting in a way that is unwise in certain areas? Are there places where you are living in unrepentant sin? That might be why your life is difficult, because God has said generally, hey, if you're living in wisdom, if you are living in a way that is righteous, your paths will be smooth. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 11, verse 29 through 30, specifically verse 30, take my yoke upon you. I'm paraphrasing. I don't have this word perfect down. But my burden is easy and my yoke is light. That's talking about many different things there, but this could be included in that. Life is easier when you are wise and living righteously. You know, and exceptions can exist to that. The unwise can live long and happy lives. But theirs are stolen blessings. So, wisdom is better than quality of life because it brings those things. It brings those things, generally. Okay. And at the end here of this blessing sandwich, we get to verse 18, and the point here is the end reward of wisdom, the end reward of wisdom. And here, Pastor Dean would probably refer to Psalm 1, and then we'd go there for another 10 minutes. I'm not going to do that because I don't have time. But this here, this reference to the tree of life. It's a reference back to the Garden of Eden, and yes, someone. And the idea is pretty simple. Right? It's referring back to creation. It's referring back to a state of life and refreshment. MacArthur puts it this way. He says, to be called happy, end of verse 18, to be connected to the tree of life, this speaks to a temporal and spiritual renewal and refreshment. Temporal and spiritual renewal and refreshment. So to live in a way that is wise is not just physically pleasing sometimes, with the long life and the riches and the honor that comes along with wisdom, but also spiritually refreshing, spiritually refreshing, spiritually refreshed in your soul. And the word for blessed here, it's not just, it's the same root, like I talked about earlier, as in verse 13, but it's a little bit different word, and the idea is not just, the first word was kind of like state of being, being blessed. This word is the idea of being called blessed, being called blessed. In other words, the wise person is in a state of being blessed and is recognized by others as being blessed. Wisdom has a way of being identified by those around the one who is wise and who is acting in wisdom. And so to sum up, you know, we've talked about the blessings of wisdom and kind of the general sense of, okay, Proverbs says if you're wise, you know, long life, riches, honor, generally. And I would say to you that the life of a believer should be wise, for the way of righteousness follows the ways of wisdom. Yet, even if you do not get the rewards of wisdom that Proverbs has mentioned here, which can happen, even if you don't get those rewards, I want to remind you and assure you that if you are a believer, you are already rewarded, and nothing can take that away from you. Nothing can take away your blessedness. You are already in a blessed state before God, no matter if you are currently wise or not. God has given you all the spiritual blessings in the heavenly places. He has declared you righteous before Him. You are connected to life everlasting and eternal riches found in Christ. And not only that, you know, we, not only that, but you have the opportunity to be wise in this life, and you don't do it in your own power. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, which I know many people have already read in Proverbs, these Proverbs sections before, so I'm not going to, but it refers to spiritual wisdom. You have spiritual wisdom and discernment through the Holy Spirit. And so, even though these things, the teacher trying to influence his son to encourage him to be wise, because you're wise, you get these things, that's a good thing, and wisdom is something to be strived for, but realize that you are already blessed. You're already blessed. Okay, pray real quick, and then we'll go on to group prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you for your word and how you've shown us the rewards of wisdom. I just pray that each of us would seek to be wise in our own lives, not that we do it for the sake of honor or glory or riches or even a long life, but because to live in a way that is wise honors you, because it is the way that you have designed us to live. And when we do so, it only elevates your design and your immense creativity, Lord, and we thank you for it. Because you have not designed us to live in a way that is hard and painful, but ultimately for our blessing, to be in a blessed state before you. Lord, I just pray that each of us would seek in our own lives areas where we are unwise and subject them to your word and ask the Holy Spirit to show us and help us discern the way to live that is more pleasing to you. I pray these things in your son's name. Amen.